Hello and welcome to Recovery Uncovered. I'm your host, Cass, and today we have a guest who is a great ally of peer support. That guest is Sam. Now, I might be slightly biased, but she is a coworker and a friend that I'm very grateful to have met this year, and she will share her journey with us. We are also welcoming back Michael, whom some of you may remember from our show a year ago, to co-host and add into the conversation. Michael will also share a brief snippet of a new group he is facilitating. So what are we waiting for? Let's get started. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi.
And welcome, Sam.
Hello.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
So far, so good. Can't complain.
Yeah, until we record this podcast, right?
That is true.
Well, welcome. We're starting a new year. Finally, some more podcasts, and you guys are going to be the first one. So I'm excited to have you here. Sam, you're our guest today, so how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Sam. My pronouns are they, them, she. I work as a support coordinator at the CMHA Cambridge branch, but I have been an RPN for most of my career, as well as I am coming on here to talk a little bit about my own mental health struggles. I have been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, postpartum depression, quite a few wonderful diagnoses out there, but it has been a journey, and I have been in therapy for a decade and have been into various types of therapy from CBT to DBT to now EMDR. Mm-hmm. To work on some trauma.
You don't look old enough to have gone for a decade.
I know, and I started quite young, actually. I was diagnosed at 12 with depression and anxiety after having my first attempt, as well as I have been on and off medications, tried a lot of things like medication-wise as a teenager, as well as therapy. I started at a young age, and I just kept going, and I've had quite a few different therapists in my time, but I'm really happy to say that the therapist that I have right now is working well with me.
And I'll just say that I introduced her to that therapist, so again, proud of me, you know.
Thank you.
Applause for myself. No, I'm just kidding. welcome. I'm glad that you shared some of your lived experience with us. And I think I said in the intro that you are a great ally for peer support. Would you agree with that statement?
I do agree. I am extremely supportive, and I have always been an advocate for mental health, as well as I do share a little bit of my experience with folks that are struggling. So I feel like I am a good ally to come to.
Very true. Very true. What did you say, Michael?
Yeah, she is a good ally to come to.
Yeah, I don't think she doesn't shy away from the conversation of mental illness, or from the fact that she has lived with it, right? Yeah. A lot of people who aren't peers or work in peer support don't actually share what they're going through, and that's okay. Not everybody feels comfortable with that, right?
Right.
But I think that Sam has come a long way for people, and I'm really glad that we have her on this team, because then it's not just me spilling all my guts all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's just talk a bit about your experience. What is it that you want to share with us from the start of your experience of mental health? What would you like to share about your experience?
So having lived experience and being a part of the community, as well as sharing my experience and knowing other folks that are suffering, I would like to touch on a bit of how important it is for me to be an ally and an advocate, as I've personally lost someone to suicide, as well as after working through that situation, I also have went through my own pregnancy journey, and that was through COVID times. So it was very difficult, and I suffered pretty severe postpartum depression, and I tried to be resilient. I tried using coping skills, and it's not a failure to go back on medication at all, but it is a sort of I'm trying to think of the word, kind of an encouraging step towards understanding my own self and insightful to be able to bravely go through that time, as well as it felt quite isolated as everything was virtual at that time. I did not have the supports that I usually have, like in person, physically. So I had to rely quite heavily on supports virtually, as well as find a new therapist in that time and work through the struggles of motherhood and being a new mom, as well as really finding my own identity through this all, realizing how I now am like genderqueer, non-binary folk, and accepting like that this is a part of me and this is a part of how I live my life. And I strongly want to like show that it is okay, it is good and positive to be open about all of this stuff, because a lot of people are nervous about bringing up their own mental health struggles, their own gender identity, as well as like what they've suffered through big steps like motherhood.
Thank you for being honest with us and sharing that. I want to take us back to the medication. You had mentioned that you thought maybe it could have been a failure that you had to go back on medication. So at this point, you had stopped taking medication. Is that correct?
Yes. So I had stopped for a couple years as I was doing well. I was using skills from my DBT in-house classes, as well as working through, this was pre-pandemic, just sort of some of my own traumas. And I felt confident enough to take myself off. I was doing well. The sun was shining, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And then having to go back on. So that was, if I can think of timeline, and it's a little fuzzy thinking of pre-COVID times, as everybody can agree.
Yeah, I think we lost some time within that COVID stuff.
We definitely did. Where I went off on my medications was in between the span of 2015 to 2017. So in 2017, that's when we lost a family member, and I went through all of that personally, as well as really realized that I couldn't handle what I was coping with.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to lose sleep. I wasn't sleeping at all at that time. I was in my nursing role, and I felt like I was not at my 100% that I wanted to be at. So I was lucky enough that I had a couple of my friends approach me and state, you know, like, you're unwell right now. Mm-hmm. And it would be a good idea to go to the hospital or go to your doctors just mm-hmm. to be assessed again. So that's when I went back on medication. That was right, from 2017 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I went back on medication, and I was doing all right. I was still coping, still learning how to work with this medication, because they took me off of one, tried another one. I was sleeping great. I was sleeping like 16 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't good enough. And then at that point, I had gotten pregnant. My doctor was a older man. He's retired now. And he took me off my medication cold turkey again
mm-hmm.
in 2020. And that was quite scary, because at that time, that was when the whole world locked down. I still had my coping mechanisms, but I was feeling the side effects of coming off of my medications and trying to cope with that, as well as the beginning of pregnancy.
Mm.
So a lot of up and downs all through my life, as well as trying new medications postpartum that definitely did not work for me,
mm-hmm.
and having to go off of those. The withdrawal was very tough. If people in the community have withdrawn from Seroquel before or Sertraline, they might have what we call brain zaps.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced a lot of that and had to be off for a couple months, actually, to recover from withdrawing from those antidepressants. And I'm quite lucky that I'm back on Trintellix right now. It is a very expensive one, and I'm grateful that I have benefits. So I'm on that, and I currently feel like I'm coping as well as I can at this current time, as I am also going through trauma therapy, and that's EMDR that I'm going through. So it's a lot of reprocessing, and I feel like and every day is getting better and better as it is.
That's good. Like, I'm glad to hear that. You went through a lot of changes through COVID time, when the whole world was going through changes, right? And I mean, so you're still here today. So, I mean, that's amazing. Your skills worked, right? Yeah, and medication, right? Like, it's not the same for everyone. Not everybody needs to be on medication, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try it, right? If a doctor kind of recommends it. As for me, I've been on medication since I was, 14 years old, I think. And the only times that I've been off medication is when I decided that I was okay and stopped taking it cold turkey, which, please don't do. I do not recommend
please
that.
Do not do that at all.
No, if it helps, it ended me up in hospital each time. So if you don't want to go there, that's my advice.
Exactly. As well as I do want to address that it is okay. And it's a lot of acceptance that we as ourselves have to go through being on medication and being on medication long term. I feel that since coming to that acceptance, it has a little bit of grief in its own way, because you think, oh, I could just get off of this and I can be better. It might not work for everyone. Some people it might, and that's fantastic for those folks. But I know for me that, like, I was doing well for 2 years, but I was quite triggered afterwards. And who knows, in the future, I might be able to get off of my medication and be okay. And eventually, I hope for that. If not, I'm happy as it is. I'm happy that I'm safe right now and that I have my supports utilized. I'm very grateful that we're not in a COVID time. So if I need a support physically there, I can have that now. And that's really special. And again, I do want to, like, say I'm very grateful for the supports that I do have that surround me. They are very strong now, and it's what keeps me going.
Support is a huge part of our journeys, I think. And yeah, I like what you said about, like, not everybody needs to be on it. I think for me, medication is the thing that helps me keep going, but it's not the only skill that I have to use, right? Medication isn't a fix, but it is something that helps me kind of have more energy through the day, make my thoughts a little bit less loud. And so I use that, but I also use all my other skills. What kind of skills would you say that you use?
So going even back to basics, if you have done DBT therapy, I really like the TIP skill. I really enjoy using temperature when I'm feeling quite dysregulated. I like using either ice pack to re-regulate myself, putting it on my forehead, leaning forward. It's called the mammalia effect or something like that, as well as putting an ice pack on my wrist. Or even if I don't have an ice pack, because you're not holding an ice pack wherever you go, right? I have often used the idea of going to a bathroom, turning it to cold, putting my wrist under, as well as I have also used journaling, has worked very well for me. And again, everybody has their own kind of things that work the best for them, or even just talk therapy, talking to a friend when I am struggling, or sending a message saying, hey, you know, like, today's not my day. Giving myself that space and that boundary now has been a very important part of my journey, is understanding I also need space.
And that's self-care in itself, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really learning about, like, what is self-care? It may be a shower. That's fantastic. Or it might be just vegging out, like, in the your bedroom and just laying down and taking that moment to just be with your thoughts, if they're even negative or positive, and trying to understand where I am presently, right?
Yes. Michael, do you take medication?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and have you been on medication for a long time?
Yeah, I've been on medication now for 4 years.
Okay. Do you find it helpful?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What are some of the other skills that you've used?
Music, journaling, Walking my dog.
We're like in a room full of writers and dog lovers.
Yeah.
Definitely writing has helped. I do write my own poetry. I haven't released it yet, as it is all of my negative voice, I find, and it can be quite triggering to reread that stuff and understand where I was at in those times and understand that my brain wasn't happy, right?
Yeah.
And music, I think, is a fantastic one. Sometimes I just put on like the angriest music I can when I feel that anger, when I feel really sad. I'm like, I need to cry it out, and crying is so good and cathartic, right?
Yeah.
I often listen to music on my way to work to kind of prep myself up and sing, and then on the way home, I sing with the windows down very, very loudly because I need to release all of that stress from the day and kind of get some energy in just to make it through the rest of the day.
Totally. It's like sometimes it feels like you're going from one shift to the next.
Yeah.
Definitely. And no offense, like I do have a kid, right? Yeah. And like you guys have dogs. So it's like, oh man, now I have to take care of somebody else again, right? Even though it can still be of joy that I take care of my own son and I have a great time with him and my partner. It's wonderful. But sometimes it's really just like, man, I wish I could have that space to just decompress.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the car ride, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I totally agree with you. I blast music sometimes, depending on how hot I am. I will roll those windows down and the whole world is going to hear my beautiful singing voice at that time.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a voice like me? People stare at me all the time.
I've had people stare for sure. Like, I've had people like stare over, like give you that look like, what are you up to? And you're just like yelling and knocking your hands on the steering wheel.
Right? Maybe it's not my voice or the fact that I'm always singing Eminem when I need to.
I mean, sometimes I sing some rap. I sing like RTJ. I usually, right now, I've been finding Lord, like the singer songwriter. not religious Lord.
thanks for clarifying.
Thank you. She's been kind of my muse right now to get my emotions out, as a lot of like melodrama is her album I listen to. And this is going to age me so much to folks that are listening, but I listen to full albums. I don't just click a few songs here and there. I am a full album singer. I go from one track to the next. I'll be like, hey, have you listened to track 6? And people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't even know what the song's called, but track 6, that's the one.
Right? And here I am thinking, do people even know what albums are?
That is true.
In this day and age.
Oh gosh, we're aging all of us right now.
We're all quite old in this room.
Yes. Ancient to the Gen Zers.
Yes. Michael, what kind of music do you generally listen to?
Well, I listen to a lot of Blue October musicals.
Oh yes.
They like you can get full into those ones, right? To kind of get the expression out and the feelings out, whether you're sad, you're angry, you're happy, right? Like I could sing all of the soundtrack from Rent. Like from the top of my head, because I've done it so many times to kind of feel
do
better.
Les Mis
too. Yeah. love it. can we talk a bit about, but you mentioned that you went through the journey of finding your identity and who it is that you are. What do you think was the first moment where you thought, you know, I'm not who I am, and the better way to kind of explain who I am?
So I've honestly felt it for a very, very long time. I didn't know how to express it when I was a kid. I feel like probably high school, I joined what they would call the Glee Club back then. Now it's LGBTQIA+. And I was an advocate for folks. At the time, I was like, I'm an ally. But in my head, I was also like, I feel like there's more to this. I never felt like I was fully like a woman or a man. I just kind of felt like in the middle and blurry, but there wasn't any terminology back then to really justify, nor did I put the research into it. I found in COVID times, I also really just felt more open to talk about all of my experiences from postpartum to gender identity, as well as it was becoming a more open topic to bring up. And that's when I really decided and talked about with my closer friends and families, you know, I am non-binary, I'm genderqueer, I don't present male or female, and there are days where I feel more femme or more male, and mm-hmm. I feel open about that. It has gotten a lot of lashback.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Like, what was people's responses?
A lot of people gave definitely poor responses from stating they didn't understand, which I would educate them as much as I could,
mm-hmm.
or they didn't accept this. They were like, well, you mostly present as femme and a woman. And I'm like, I understand that, but motherhood really showed me that I need to be myself,
mm-hmm.
and I need to present myself to the world, to my son, so that he understands that it is safe. It is safe to be myself and use the they, them pronouns. It has been really hard, even when I kind of announced it, I tried to in 2020 to my closer group, as well as like where I previously worked.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like people in the medical field are respectful of using the pronouns, but people continue to not.
Right.
And again, I'm open to the she, her pronouns. I'm not upset. I do like the he, him.
Right? Yeah.
And I just didn't find I fit right into the perfect blend of femme.
Right.
Nor male,
mm-hmm.
right? I felt like an in-between. And sometimes it's literally in how I dress. So, like, today I'm more just, like, mix,
mm-hmm.
I would call. Like, I'm wearing my t-shirt and pants, whatever I want to. Where some days I will wear an elaborate dress or a suit, right? Mm-hmm. And some days I want to wear makeup. Today I'm not wearing makeup. And I hope that as we keep moving forward in this world, in this life, that people will continue to be more accepting of non-binary folk, genderqueer folk,
mm-hmm.
who might not know where they place themselves, right? And that's kind of how I feel
mm-hmm.
right there. And I'm happy that, like, here at CMHA, it's a safe space for me to express how I am, who I am, as well as a lot of people do tend to try to use my pronouns, or if they don't know, I will give them the education as much as I can,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've come to kind of accept not who you are, because who you are is amazing and I love you for who you are, but the responses that other people are going to have towards you, right? You've learned ways to kind of not allow that to attack your mental health, and you could still live as you are.
Totally. There was a time, though, like when I first started bringing it up, where there were certain people in my life that didn't understand and still don't accept it,
mm-hmm.
and don't view me as genderqueer and take quite offense whenever I bring it up. So I've changed and redirected my conversations when it comes to that for my own safety, as it would get me quite low. And it would make me suffer more. I would get very emotional because I felt like this isn't right. I need to express who I am, and I want to everybody. But mm-hmm. there are some people that just don't get it,
yeah,
so to speak, mm-hmm. without like naming those folks. Yeah. Right?
And name them all. No, I'm just
name them all. Right?
Yeah.
But I do feel fine, as in like I do take a lot of inspiration from, I don't know if you guys have heard of JVN, Jonathan Van Ness.
Yeah.
She and he and they.
He's on Queer Eye.
Yes.
Queer Eye, yeah. Yeah.
They are so wonderful, and they are also non-binary, genderqueer. And they express, you know, like, if nobody wants to call me a she, that's fine. I'm a queen to myself.
Right? I love that.
And, like, he goes by whatever you want. And that's kind of how I present, too. Like, sure, if you want to call me he, him pronouns one day, go for it. I don't mind. Or they, them, or she, her, right?
Right.
I do prefer they, them. Mm-hmm. But I do often, just to make it easier for people who really don't understand, go by the she, her.
Yeah. I will say, I think I said she in the introduction to this. And I think it's just, it's not that I don't understand. For me, I think it's more of I've just gotten used to using you know, different pronouns to put people in boxes. And I don't believe people are in boxes at all. I feel like people can be whoever they want to be, whoever they are. It's not that you want to be somebody. It's that that's who you are, and you're be who you are, because I'm crazy and I tell everybody that's okay. So
and like for folks who are non-binary and who are really firm, like when I first brought it up to mm-hmm. folks, I was like, I only want they, them, like, please only go by they, them pronouns. And for a bit, people were trying,
mm-hmm.
and I just, to be honest, I quit on pushing it, right? Mm-hmm. Because people just didn't understand it. But no. If somebody came up to me and said, hey, you know, I just want to be by they, them pronouns, I would respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give them that dignity and that love, because it is so hard in this life right now to have those pronouns, right? Yes. And then you get into conversations with other generations, right, where they are very
yeah.
non-accepting yeah. of this. So I'm happy that I'm in a safe environment that I can talk about this stuff, whereas before it did not feel this safe.
But this conversation is kind of relates to Michael and Michael's new group that he started. Michael, do you want to tell us a bit about the new group and why
yeah.
you started it?
It's called Gender Journeys. And it's a group for non-binary and trans individuals to come together and just find support with one another and find resources out.
And why do you think it's important to have that in peer support?
Because I found that there's not that much support in this area. So to have the support and mm-hmm. to be able to help people out.
And I think a lot of people, I've sat in that group just as a facilitator, and a lot of people have mentioned there's no space where they're able to kind of just be who they are and share the suffering that they have to go through and have people understand.
Yeah.
Right. What brought you to starting Gender Journeys?
Gender Journeys, what brought me to it is because I identify as trans myself. So just having a support group that I can share my experience with.
Right.
To other people yeah. and support other people.
Was your experience similar to what Sam had just shared when you were coming out as trans?
Yeah, I still have a lot of family that still identify me as she with she pronouns, and I definitely don't look like a female.
Nope, no.
So it's still difficult to deal with them.
Yeah. And how do you deal with it?
I have to reiterate with them that I'm he, I go by male pronouns, give them my name. And hopefully they just pick up on it.
Yeah. Michael has a card here, a business card that I love. He's been passing them out to everybody, and so have I. But it's called The Inspirational Trans Guy. He has been doing a lot of work on his webpage too, which I'll add to the bottom of the intro of this podcast. But it not only has blogs about his story, a podcast about his life, but it also has ways that he can come and talk to people and share with communities as well as workplaces what it's like and what are the right pronouns or right terms and so on, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Training,
yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say right now you're comfortable in your skin?
Yes, I am comfortable
yeah.
in my skin.
I love you too. It's not just Sam, don't worry. but yeah, no, I'm glad. And would you say your mental health got better as you became who you are?
Yes, my mental health got a lot better. I wasn't so depressed. I wasn't so suicidal.
Okay. And where can people go to this group?
They can come to the CMHA at 9 Wellington Street to the CMHA office to attend on Wednesdays from 1:30 to 2:30, or they can do it virtually.
Yeah, and to get our virtual link, you can look at our calendars at Self Help and Peer Support. I'll also post it under this podcast as well. It's a hybrid group, so you're able to come in person or on computer. And yeah, it seems to be going well so far.
Yes, it is going well.
Yeah, awesome.
I definitely I feel that when you talk about being in your skin. Mm. I feel like I'm becoming more. Like I'm allowing myself more and not in a disassociative way, right? Because I definitely have like that derealization sometimes when it comes to, oh my gosh, like who am I, right? And I feel that now, like coming into 2024 now, I am getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking time. It feels better. I feel more confident in my journey as well as I'm happy that again, I'm able to share this with other folks, right? Mm. And able to be a part of that community as well. And Michael, you are very right about there not being a lot of resources in community right now. There is almost nothing where we live.
That's true.
There's stuff in other like cities around us, but really not a lot here in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's a work in progress, and I am happy I went to like the first Pride last year in Cambridge, right? They had that in June, and it was absolutely beautiful and a wonderful, accepting community all together. It's just we need more.
Yeah.
We definitely need more. Like, it can't just be one day for once a year that it happens. They need continued support for folks who are going through this journey, as well as going through not just gender identity, but mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. And I'm happy that you have this group now, Michael, because it gives folks a chance to express them.
Yeah, they can express who they are.
Right. And an open, safe space to know that, you know, like, we have that here, and you are allowed to access that, whether you're nervous and you can't do it, or you're not physically able to. We have it virtually too.
Yeah, and you don't have to have your camera on.
Right. So you don't, if you're feeling like you can't show your face, you're uncomfortable, there is a lot of opportunity, and it is like accessible.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah, I love that we have this group now offered here at Self Help and Peer Support. I don't think we've had anything like it prior to now. And I am grateful that they allowed us to kind of run with the idea when you and I, Michael, brought it up.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they let us run with it.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really even give us any parameters. You know, Michael came to me, he says, I got an idea. And I said, great, how do we get this idea to go? And here we are. It's fresh. It's new. But I really hope it kind of continues to get that conversation going.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. And I hear you guys when you say, like, just being who you are. And for me, I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but I've also talked about it to a lot of my participants and people that know me. For me, I struggled in understanding why I've had to suffer as much as I have and why I continue to suffer and what have I done wrong. Who am I to have had mental illness, all of these things, right? And it took me many, many years, and honestly, probably the ECT treatment, before I started to own it. And now I go around and I tell people to own it. I'm legally crazy. I'm okay with that. It actually makes me better, I think. I love hanging around psych hospitals. I think taking back that ownership of who I am makes it hurt less when other people try to use it against me. And in ways that my brain tries to use it against me too. Like all the why questions, right? You never have answers for those. But I think just owning it and being who you are is kind of the best way to go with that.
And it really, really helps having that confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes years to get that confidence. I can even like reflect to 5 years ago. I definitely did not have the confidence I have now. I was very anxious, very scared, very in my negative thought processes, where I have come to a space and I'm like, you know what? I can do this. I know I can do this. And I am proud.
I love that. Yeah. Two things I want to talk about just before we close up here.
Of course.
Let's talk about why you decide to work in, I think I've shared why I worked in mental health, even though I live with mental health on a daily basis. Honestly, I don't think I ever leave mental health. It's just always there. But why did you decide to work with mental health?
So I've always had a thing, like even since I was younger, I wanted to, like, first of all, be a nurse, be someone to help others, right? That's where it kind of all was the core belief for me, is I want to help other people in their journey wherever they are, as well as I started out in a long-term care facility in my nursing career. I did specialize in Alzheimer's and dementia, and with that comes a lot of mental health struggles mm-hmm. as well, and a lot of older folks realizing that, like, they suffer from depression and they've never really looked into it and what that means, or anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So I really fell into that more I really discovered how it was my passion to help those who are suffering immensely with their mental health, as well as I helped folks when they were feeling their feelings, try to get out of them as much as we could without medication, learning coping strategies. And I just kept going from working in other mental health institutions and in the hospital and just being there for those folks. It really filled my cup to be able to not just share a little bit of my own journey, but to be able to hear their journey, listen to them, and be that support in that time. And it made a difference. It still makes a difference. I am happy to say, like, I have been showered with love in a sense, in my own professional way of seeing people grow, getting them through their journey, if not just a portion of their journey, and helping them in senses where, like, I have had people write letters to me and thank me for helping them in that time, in that crisis where they were, and knowing that there is help and there are people that care, even from, like, a nursing role where nursing can be quite negative in mental health facilities and people are scared and fearful of that. Knowing that there are people out there that do care and also are on the other side of the glass, that reality really helps others. Knowing that there are people that have worked and worked hard on their own to get to this point and are still working on things. It's never going to be perfect. I'm not magically cured. And I wish it was that way. I'm going to have my ups and downs as any person would, as well as my own struggles. And it won't be perfect. And coming to that acceptance is huge as well. Yeah. Right. And I'm happy that I'm able to help fill other people's cups. That's what I always come to. And one of my favorite things is, like, we'll get through it, even if it's for the minute, for the hour, for the day or the week.
Yeah.
Right? We will get through what we're going through and it will get better. It may not get 100% better, but there will be parts that get better that you will survive. You will move that mountain.
I completely agree. And I think that, I mean, that's ultimately what peer support is too, right? We allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We allow ourselves to be open with the folks that we see. And in groups, when I'm not doing well, I always start it by saying, I'm not doing well today. And people thank me for saying that because then they feel like they can also share. I know, like, it's, I love that you said it fills our cup, because ultimately I think that's why I'm in this field too. When I'm having a rough day and I come to work and get to be around the folks that I support and walk alongside, I feel much better. And, you know, I love that my office is filled with all these paintings and stuff that people have given me. But really, it's just seeing people grow and survive and see their own courage and ability within them that, I don't know, it just makes my heart beat. And I think that's why I continue to keep going.
Me too. And then
one other thing I wanted to touch on, you've mentioned a few times that you have lots of support around you, whether that's therapists, doctors, friends. but, you know, did you always have that support? And what is it about the support that really helps you?
So it's taken years to get to this point. I'm very lucky to have a partner that has been with me for 14 years. And, he really has helped support me and try to understand where I am. And there are times where we have struggled, of course, right? Mm-hmm. As any relationship does. And communication is a very big thing. I'm always like, communication is key to a healthy relationship, whether it's a own, like, loving relationship or a friendship, right? I do have solid friends that also suffer too, and we lean on each other and we talk, like, whether it's one friend saying, oh, I'm in the dark space right now, and I need you to just talk to me or listen to me and vent with me, of course I am there, as well as they give that time to be there too, and the check-in. So I do have a few, like, really firm supports that always are checking in on me, and I can't tell you how grateful and appreciative I am of those people and how much I love them And I love the people that surround me that I can be so honest with them, mm-hmm. because before I felt like I had to lie to put on that mask and be like, oh, I'm totally fine. I'm good. Right. Mm-hmm. When inside I was crying in the bathroom, I was suffering extreme anxieties. I couldn't function where I am now. So I've grown to find my people. And finding my people is a part of that journey too, but it has taken those years, as well as going through the teenage years, all of that, and now going through 20s and mm-hmm. being able to be like, hey, you know, like this person I want to keep in my life because they really care about me as much as I care about them. Yeah. Right? So.
Yeah, as you were saying that, all that kept going in my head was, lean on me, lean on me, when you're not strong. That's what we're doing, guys. We're leaning on each other. That's what we do here at CMHA. We're all about supporting one another and just kind of letting you see that you are courageous, you are persistent, and you are beautiful the way you are. So keeping you, reach out to the support if you need it. I want to say thanks to Sam for joining us today and kind of telling us a bit about your story, and I know there's a lot more to it, so maybe we'll have you again on another day. We only have so much time, right? And I could talk about this stuff for hours.
Exactly. Right?
I just don't know who would listen to it for hours. And thank you, Michael, for bringing your group and kind of sitting with us in this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people will check out your group. And if you have any questions about it, you're more than welcome to email me, Cass. My email is also attached to this podcast. All right. Well, thanks, Michael, for coming. And I guess I'll see you later.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's the end of our podcast for today. Thanks for joining us. I hope you learned some interesting facts and maybe learned something that you can try for yourself. So have a wonderful day, and we'll be back with another episode very soon.